Good morning. It's good to be here in the house of God again. Greetings to each one of you in Christ's name. Good to see each one of you here. I really enjoyed the service thus far, devotional. Thank you for those challenges, brother, and also the Sunday school. I feel like we're skimming through some of those churches pretty fast. I think we could probably spend a Sunday school session on each one and talk a long time about each one. But it's been a good discussion. This morning, for a message, I've taken, was assigned a topic at another church. It was at Troxelville, that I'm planning to share with you all here this morning, and I wasn't sure if anyone from Troxelville would be present this morning. If you are, I apologize if you have to listen to the same thing twice. But the topic that was assigned to me there was renewing my mind, and that's taken from Romans chapter 12. You can turn there. And if you recall, several weeks back, I believe the last message I would have brought here would have been from this chapter as well. So bear with me if we're going to take some thoughts from some of the same verses that we looked at, I believe it was 3 weeks ago. So if you hear some overlap, or if you think you're hearing something that you just heard before, you probably are. So bear with me on that. Some of the thoughts will overlap a bit. And I believe we had, I think Brother Greg had a Wednesday evening topic and used, was it verse 1, presenting your bodies a living sacrifice. We talked about that some. So we have spent a little bit of time here in Romans 12, the last bit. If you notice in verse 1, we have a therefore that we find right away. I beseech you, therefore, he says. And when you find that word, how's the saying go? If you find a therefore, you're supposed to see what it's there for. And so I thought maybe we'd just back up a little bit and start reading here in chapter 11. We'll start at verse 33. We'll read a couple verses here surrounding Romans 11, verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is where our title is taken from, Renewing My Mind. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Verse 3, yet, for I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And if you recall, those of you who were here, we spent some time talking about be not conformed to this world, and we're not to be conformed to this world in its system, but we're to be conformed to Jesus Christ. Paul starts out here in verse 1, I beseech you. He begs us to consider. And if you go back further yet there in chapter 1, he's talking about God's plan and how the Jews were first given opportunity. And that now through God's mercy, the Gentiles are grafted in, we find that phrase, and included in the plan of salvation. And he starts in here, I beseech you, I beg of you, I implore you, a fitting response, could we say. A response of appreciation for what God has done for us. And I believe probably a majority of the audience Romans was written to would have included many of the Gentiles grafted in. And he goes into what that response should be, and we covered we looked at that, being not conformed to this world, but rather being transformed. And also, verse 1, our bodies, a living sacrifice. Brother Greg covered that quite well on that Wednesday evening topic there. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We see some bigger words there, and we did talk about some of these, the word conformed and transformed. What's conformed? Well, conformed is to be made like, or to be like. Fashion yourself like. So we're to not be like the world. We're to not fashion ourselves after their ways, but be transformed. What's that mean? If you remember, those of you who are here, that means to change completely. I think we have maybe an electrical. We have transformers. I don't know how many electricians are here. But I noticed there was some electrical work recently done out here. And there's some big boxes or big units of some sort up there on those the three poles out here on the corner. Are those transformers? I don't know. It seems like they might be. But it changes the current. And I don't profess to know how all that works, but I'd simply put, it changes the current to something we can use in our house, right? So if we, turn on the lights or plug something in, or if it wasn't transformed to usable energy, we'd probably have some bad results. Appliances wouldn't be able to handle that kind of supply. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Change completely. And that Greek word, I think I talked about it before, is metamorpho. We recognize it sounds about like our word metamorphosis, right? And that if you break that down, the part of the word there, meta, means beyond, and morph means form or structure. So it's a change in structure, and we're familiar with that, with metamorphosis. Take that caterpillar, put it in a jar, and after a while you have a cocoon, or is that what you call it? And after a while, a butterfly comes out of that, and it's a totally different creature than what you first started with. It doesn't look at all like the caterpillar you started with. Well, that's transformed. Completely, changed completely. Be not conformed to this world, but be changed completely by the renewing of your mind. What's that word, renewing? Renew means to make or become new again. You know that little, we know what new is. We like new stuff, right? And that word, little suffix, re means again. If you do something, you do it once. If you have to redo it, you have to do it again. And that's what this word is, renew, make new again. Maybe it's not a word we use quite as much as some. Maybe we familiar with more the word restore. Restore, we have an old truck or an old tractor. Old tractor that was sitting in the weeds for a long time, and you want to restore that back to what it was when it was new. You take that thing apart, maybe rebuild the engine and so on, repaint it, It's a lot of work, and you restore that thing to new condition. Renew, make new again. So maybe if just putting this verse into simple terms, it would read something like this, using my own words. Don't be like the world. Don't pattern your life after their ways, but instead be changed. Live differently from the ways of the world, since you have a new mind. We might ask the questions, a couple of questions maybe come to mind. Does the human mind need renewing? We know our minds are amazing. They need renewing. And why? What does this renewing look like? How does it work? And if my mind needs renewing, you know, that implies there's more than one kind of mind, right? And could we say an old mind and a new mind? I believe we know as Christians that, yes, we need the renewed mind. But I'd just like to look at this a little bit, the old mind and the new mind. I don't believe the Bible uses that phrase, but it does use another word or phrase. Let's flip back a few pages to chapter 8 of Romans. We find here some references to the old and new mind here, mostly looking at the description we have of the old. Romans 8, verse 4, it says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. What does it call the old mind here? It calls it the carnal mind. Carnal. If you look that word up in the Strong's, it simply means unregenerate or pertaining to the flesh. Over in 1 Corinthians 2, I believe, it uses a different phrase. It says, the natural man. It says, the natural man receiveth not the things of God. It's the natural man or this carnal mind that we all have had, we were all born with. And that is the mind that is in need of renewing. Why is that? Well, it says it right here in verse 7. The carnal mind is enmity against God. Enmity against God. It is hostile toward God, totally against God. It says in verse 8 that you cannot please God. That's the carnal mind. And that is a problem. That is the problem that the human race has. That the mind we were born with, that natural mind, is against God. Makes choices against God, makes us the enemies of God. And that carnal mind is everything contrary to God. It wants to be the boss. It wants to be in control of my life. And it wants to please the things of the flesh and self only and resist God. Well, what's the solution to this problem? Well, it is salvation through Jesus Christ. Salvation through Jesus Christ and turning your life over to God. I think we talked about that as we talked about being conformed to Christ. That now I want to do what God wants. I want to direct my life after His direction. I want to turn my life over to His lordship. And when we do that, the carnal mind is now not in control. The Spirit of God is now in control. The Spirit of Christ enters in, and there is a total change. Could we say the mind is under new management? You see those signs sometimes when probably some old management wasn't what it should be. And somebody else takes over, they put a sign there. They want to make sure you know that the management now is different than what it used to be. Well, that is the renewed mind. It's not the old carnal mind anymore, but it's a new spirit-controlled mind. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, it says in 2 Corinthians 5. How does this renewing happen? Can you explain it? I would say this morning, to the carnal mind, you probably can. To the carnal mind, you know, it just doesn't make sense, right? The mind you have is just what you got, right? And it seems impossible. And I would say it is impossible outside of divine power. You know, you can't physically see a renewed mind, right? But you can see the results of the renewed mind. And therefore, you know it's there. I believe Jesus, talking to Nicodemus there in John 3, said, it's like the wind. You can't see the wind. You don't know where it comes from. But you can see the results. You can feel it. You can experience it. And so, you know, we can experience the renewed mind. And therefore, you know it's there. You know it's within. But I believe it's something that we can see and feel only through faith. How does this renewing take place? Let's turn to Titus chapter 3. Titus 3, verse 4. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. There we have that word renewing, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Renewing of the Holy Ghost, it says. This renewing is a work of the Holy Spirit. I believe I said that already. But what I want to emphasize here, we don't renew ourselves. The Holy Spirit does that. You know, if we have a truck or a tractor, we want to renew, we want to restore it. How's it work? You just pull it in the shop and kind of gradually it sits there a while, it changes by itself, and next thing you know, it's new. No, it doesn't work that way. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of outside work, help. Things don't become new by themselves. We don't become new by ourselves. But you can find, if you look, you can find that mentality out there that, you know, you need to take steps to renew yourself. And I don't believe that's correct. I believe we do need to take steps there's choices we need to make to turn, you know, our lives over to the Lordship of Christ. It comes as a result of our choices. But we don't renew ourselves. That renewing power comes as a result through the Holy Spirit alone. I can't pull myself up by my own bootstraps. The renewing of the Holy Ghost. Another thought that impressed me about the renewed mind is that this mind that is renewed is totally changed. You know, that's the same mind that it says was enmity with God, totally opposed to the things of God. Now that mind receives, I believe the Bible tells us, it receives a part of the mind of God. It says in Paul saying and talking in 1 Corinthians 2, He's talking about the natural man and one who versus the spirit-filled man. He says, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him?" And he says this, "But we have the mind of Christ." And that's just impressive to me, that the mind that was contrary, the enemy of God, is now has the mind of Christ within. That's really just amazing thought. The renewing of the Holy Spirit. We have direct connection with God's mind and the mind of Christ, and that's what gives us guidance. Moving on. So we turn our lives over to the Lordship of Christ, and we're a new creature through this renewing. Well, how is it from there? Once we're renewed, is this a one-time thing? We get this renewing, and after that, it's smooth sailing. Is that how it works? I don't believe it is. If you're still here at Romans 12, I'm not. Maybe flip back to that. It says, the word we have is renewing. That's a present tense word. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I believe that speaks of ongoing, not just a once and done thing. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says this, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Day by day, it says. So I believe this renewing work of the Holy Spirit is ongoing. It's a continued work every day in the mind of the Christian, in your mind and mine. And while the renewed mind is in control, you know, the carnal mind is still nearby, isn't it? And wants to regain control if possible. I think maybe we could say it's a little bit like, the carnal mind is a little bit like a backseat driver. You know, while the spirit-controlled mind is within you, is what's controlling you, driving you down the road, so to speak, keeping you going a straight course, you know, this backseat driver is there. And every so often, maybe he's giving distractions. You know, you should turn down that side road. Here's a detour. Here's a different way to go. And tries to direct you off of that straight path you're on. You know, that backseat driver, that carnal mind, doesn't have the wheel, so to speak. But if you keep listening to that mind, if you keep paying attention to him, he can eventually influence you to turn off course, I believe. And so I believe this renewing, as I said already, is a daily, it's an ongoing work in the Christian's life. Well, the title we have is Renewing My Mind. That makes it personal to myself. That makes it personal to you and I here this morning. And I believe it's something that each Christian, each one of us should be interested in, having the Spirit-filled mind. Is there a part for me to do in this renewing process? I believe there is. And while let's not forget that we don't do the renewing, right? But I believe you and I, we decide daily which voice we're going to listen to, which driver, could we say, is going to be at the wheel of our life, of our car, however you want to say that. God still gives us the power to choose, whether we choose the spirit, the renewed mind, whether that's the one that's going to be in control, or the carnal mind. And I believe, of course, when we choose to be, we choose the right thing. We choose the spirit to be directed by God's spirit every day. I believe it makes future choices somewhat easier. It makes the carnal mind to be less of an influence. when we resist it daily with the Spirit-filled mind. What are some helps for me to choose daily the Spirit-filled mind? Two scriptures I want to just turn to look at quickly. One is Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, verse 26, and I'm kind of just pulling this out of context here. The context is Christ in the church. I believe Brother Nelson read this yesterday, didn't he, in the message. Ephesians 5, 26, it says, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. The part I want to take from emphasize from here is the washing of water by the word, the cleansing power of the word. There's another verse, I won't turn to it, but it's John 15, verse 3. It says, Jesus talking, "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." You see, this morning, the word of God is a cleansing agent, could we say? It's a cleansing agent for our mind. The word washes. The washing of water by the word. Just like, you know, an antiseptic we put on a wound. We want to clean that wound. We want to cleanse it. Like peroxide or something like that. It cleans the wound. Might burn a little too. You know, as we think of renewing the mind, I believe a significant part of us choosing the Spirit-filled mind or the carnal one is what we choose to allow into our minds. You know, we have some say, you and I, we have some say in what comes in, mostly through what we hear and what we see. I believe those are two gateways into the mind. And I say by what we allow to regularly enter the mind, we decide through that which driver of the car we're feeding. This morning, we need the Word, my friends. We need the Word daily. It is the cleansing agent for our minds. It washes and purifies us. And I believe it enables the Spirit-filled mind. Read the Word daily. Don't neglect it. It's what we need to maintain the mind of Christ. And speaking of maintaining, you know, some of us enjoy maintenance maybe a little more than others. Probably most of us agree. We like as least maintenance as possible, right? You have a vehicle, you don't want a high maintenance. Try to avoid those high maintenance vehicles, right? Those ones that are known for certain problems. We kind of try to shy away from them, right? You know, how well you maintain that vehicle has a lot to do with how well it works for you, right? And a lot of problems we can avoid through good maintenance. But we like as least maintenance as possible, the low maintenance stuff, right? But, you know, this morning, as we're thinking about the Spirit-filled mind, it just takes some maintenance work. It just does. And more than once a month, I'm going to say, it just takes regular time in God's Word and prayer to maintain your spiritual mind. And this morning, I believe, if you have been a child of God for some time, you know this is how it is. Just a low-maintenance program does not work very well. Might be a disaster, actually. Well, feed your mind with God's Word. A couple of verses from Psalm 19. It says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Talking about God's word. The word of God enables the spirit-filled mind. Read God's word, listen to it, let it wash your mind. So what we hear and what we see are gateways into the mind. And maybe it goes without saying, but the carnal mind likes to feed on the junk, right? Likes to feed on the garbage. And there is just plenty of garbage in the world. There always has been for the carnal mind to feed on. And this morning, you can't expect to feed your mind a diet of trash and continue to be controlled by the Spirit of God. It's just how it is. It's like tossing a few French fries to that backseat driver, right? And eventually, he's going to be the one that is controlling you, your car, so to speak. I say, you and I, we're in charge of the gateways, those gateways into our mind, to a large degree. Okay, you know, there's some things we just have no influence over, perhaps. We couldn't help hearing or seeing. But we decide if that's where we're going to dwell. If we're going to dwell on those things. But you know, the large majority we have some say in. And I repeat, we can't expect a regular garbage intake to not affect our minds. And maybe there's all kinds of applications you could think of. Say, for example, if you're placing yourself in a workplace where you're bombarded with profane language, bad music, bad company, and so on, it is going to have some kind of effect on your mind eventually. Evil communications corrupt good manners, the Bible says. What about having an app on your phone? You know, there's a lot of apps that might have some good. Maybe there's a majority of the stuff that's there is a bunch of trash. Is it worth having that? Is it worth the few dollars, convenience, and so on for what it feeds my mind? I think we need to think seriously about some of those things. I say, we can't put a dollar value on the renewed mind. Psalm 141, verse 3 and 4, part of it says this, "Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Incline not my heart to any evil thing." Well, how do I know which mind controls me? Whether I'm controlled with the spirit mind or the carnal. You know, you can't see what's in the mind, but you can tell what's in there by what comes forth. What's the fruit of your life and mine? What's coming out of the fountain of your life? It talks about a fountain there in James 3, I believe it is. And he says there, in essence, you can tell what's inside by what comes out. He says, does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Well, we know the answer. It's either one or the other. It's either good water or bad. What are the fruits coming forth from your life and my life? Are they fruits of a spirit-filled mind? And we know what those are: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, and so on. Is that the fruit of your mind? What's the fruit of your lips? Is it thanksgiving to God? Or is it speech that reflects an impure mind? James also says, I can't remember if it's the same chapter, but he says, if any man seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, not in control of his tongue. He says, in my own words, this man's religion isn't doing him any good. It's just a vain show. Renewing my mind. I'd like to close this morning with a familiar verse from Psalm 51.
create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. This morning, that should be the cry of each one of us. I believe, not only this morning, but daily, that I would say, God, I need you today. Enable me today. Renew my heart. Purge out the old stuff that's within, and grant me your spirit today. Let's kneel for prayer.